I'd like to again ask an interest in your prayers today. I have some scripture that I would like to share with you. And I hope today that you're excited to be at the house of God, that you're spiritually moved and stirred. I thought about today, I hope that there's an excitement among us that we get to be here right now at this point in time and we get to hear something from the Word of the Lord. That's a great, that's the best thing that you're going to hear all week is what you hear from the Word of the Lord. And so I hope that we're excited. I want to ask, and I don't know why this is on my heart today, but it is, and I'm going to make this request, and I'm going to ask this of the church. Maybe it's because, I may be or may not be, but maybe it's because with the things that the Lord has placed upon my heart, maybe I feel I might be a little lengthy today. But I want to ask you this. Don't you let the devil mess with you. Don't let him cheat you. Don't let the devil, when the clock hits 12 o'clock, don't say it's time to go. I'll promise you this. I'll make you this promise. I will always do the best I can. When God is done with me, I'll stop. I'll stop at that point. And so let's give our hearts today to the Word of God and to what He has to say to us. I want to introduce some scripture, or introduce this lesson rather by reading some scripture from beginning with the second chapter of the Gospel according to John in verse 1. So if you have your Bibles and want to read with me, please turn there. John chapter 2, beginning with the first verse. We're going to be talking today about miracles. I love to study in the scriptures about the miracles. And so let's begin reading here with this first verse. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. And I have 2 more places from the Gospel of John that I want to read briefly before I begin the message. In this same chapter, if you look at verse 23, it tells us there, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. And if we go to John chapter 6, I want to read the first two verses of John chapter 6. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. Now, go back with me once again for just a moment and notice in verse 23 of John chapter 2 that the Bible tells us there that they saw the miracles. And then again in John chapter 6, verse 2, that a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles. And this is the title that I would like to use for the message this morning. It comes, the first part of the title, in a statement, and the second part of the title in a question. And so the title is this: They Saw His Miracles, Have We? And I want to ask an interest in your prayers today. I felt it when I studied this and tried to prepare this. I felt compelled and I felt it necessary. I don't often do this in a sermon, but I have somewhat of an outline that I would like to use to get started here this morning in talking about this. And first, I would like to give a definition of a miracle. Now, the definition that I took is from Webster's 1828 dictionary, American Dictionary of the English Language. And I like that dictionary particularly because in that he gives, to many words, he gives a secular meaning, what may be commonly believed about what the world might believe about a miracle, but he gives what he believes a miracle is according to the Scriptures. And he does that with many words. And here's what Webster said about a miracle. He said, in theology, that it is an event or effect contrary to the established constitution or course of things, that it is a deviation from the known laws of nature. A miracle is a supernatural event. And I like what he said here. He said, miracles can be wrought only by almighty power. As when Christ, and he gave these two examples, as when Christ healed lepers, saying, I will, be thou clean, or calm the tempest by saying, peace, be still. That's the, from that dictionary, that's the definition he gave of a miracle. I'm going to make this statement before I go any farther. No man, as far as I'm concerned, as far as I believe, no man has ever, in the history of mankind, no man has ever performed a miracle by his own power. Every miracle that has ever been performed has either been performed directly by God or by someone to whom God enabled and empowered to perform that miracle. That's the only way that they've ever taken place. We as people don't have the power to perform miracles. I want to speak for just a moment about their purpose. What was the purpose of the miracles? And you know, we can look through the Scriptures, both Old and New Testament, and we can see where God, by His awesome power, wrought miracle after miracle. And I want us to think for just a moment, and there's much more that could be said about that than what I'm going to say today, but I'm going to talk about three things for just a moment that I believe tell us about the purpose of miracles. What were they for? What did they accomplish? And first of all, I believe that God used miracles merely to show His power. I believe that's what the plagues were about that He brought up on the Egyptians. When He was going to bring His chosen people out of Israel, I believe that He used the miracles of those plagues. I believe He used those things to show His power, not only to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians, but to His people Israel, to display before them that I am here to deliver you from this bondage. So God used miracles for the purpose of showing His power. Another reason is that miracles were motivated by compassion. If you look in Matthew chapter 14 and 14, it says, Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and He healed them. So miracles were performed for the sake of having compassion upon people. Another reason, and the last one that I would like to speak to you about to lay the groundwork here, is that I believe that miracles, now I'm going to tell you something, folks, today. I'm going to tell you some things today that I believe about this that I know that many people in the world don't agree with. But I'm going to speak today, as always, about what I believe God's Word teaches. I believe that miracles were used to accredit and establish. And I believe that's exactly what the Lord did when He came, when Jesus came into the world. I believe one of the main reasons that He went around doing the miracles was to give accreditation and establishment to the fact, to show the people, not only was He who He said He was, but that His kingdom had indeed come to the earth. Let's look at these few illustrations. Turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Acts 2, 22. The Apostle Peter, in preaching, made this statement. He said, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by Him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know." Listen to what he said there. Jesus was approved among you by miracles and wonders and signs. If you look at John chapter 3, verse 2, when Nicodemus came to Jesus, what did he say? "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him." If you look in Matthew chapter 9, when the four men brought the palsied man to the Lord Jesus Christ for him to be healed, and Jesus said to him, when he saw their faith, and said to him, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee," and he perceived what those Pharisees and others there were thinking, he said, "Well, which is easier, to say thy sins be forgiven thee, or take up thy bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up your bed and walk." And he proved things by miracles. When God sent Moses and Aaron to Pharaoh to tell him to let Israel go, and he gave them that rod to take, you know, that rod that when they threw it down, it would turn into a serpent, a snake. God wasn't just wanting Pharaoh to see a snake. He sent them there with that he may know that God had sent them. That was to accredit that and to establish that fact before them that God was indeed with them. And you remember what happened there with how that Pharaoh had his magicians come and they tried to duplicate that, and they threw theirs down there, and through their magic they also became serpents, and the rod of Moses and Aaron swallowed the others up. I'm telling you, God is going to prevail. God does miracles. And so I want us to look at a few of these from the scriptures, and also to look perhaps at some in our own lives. Because I'm going to go ahead and give you my answer to the question in the title, where I said, read from the scriptures where it talks about those people there in the days of Jesus. It says they saw his miracle. I mean, they witnessed that. They witnessed him turning water into wine. There were people that witnessed him healing lepers. In the days of Christ, leprosy, it seemed to be commonplace. And there was not anything that anybody could do for a leper. I mean, the only thing, you know, they would separate them from the rest of the people, and it was very nasty and very contagious, and they would separate them from the people. And when somebody had leprosy, there was nothing that anybody could do for them except God. I want you to know something today, folks. Everybody that's here, whether you're saved or whether you're lost, that we are going to have things in our life that there's not going to be anybody that can do anything for you except for God. God has done things for me in my life that nobody else could have done. God came along and he did them. That's miracles, isn't it? That's a miracle when all hope of any other escape, all hope of any other healing, all hope of anything happening any other way is just gone. And the Lord says, I can do it. So they saw the Lord turn water into wine. They saw him cleanse the lepers. There were people that saw the Lord Jesus Christ. You listen to this and you think about it. How would, and I guess, you can only imagine this if you've never had it happen to you, but what would it be like to have never been able to see anything? I mean, from the time you were born in the world to never have seen what your parents look like, or never seen what anything around you looked like, to have been blind since your birth. But we read about people like that in the scriptures that had been blind. They had been born that way. They had been that way their entire life. And the Lord Jesus Christ healed them and gave them sight. And folks, that's a miracle. Or to be lame, like the man that we read about there that laid at the gate of the temple, and he was lame and had been lame all his life, and he would lay there and he would beg alms from the people as they came by there to the temple. And here came Peter and John one day, two men whom God had empowered and authorized to be able to perform miracles, and they come along, and here's this man, and he's asking for money. He wants some money. He wants an alms. And here comes the Apostle Peter. And oh, I love these scriptures. Peter said, silver and gold have I none. I'll tell you what, folks. Listen, we have people sometimes that stop by here and they're looking for monetary help. They're looking for money. And I'll tell you what, there are people who are genuinely in need, and we need to help them, but we need to be careful to never send somebody away with nothing but money. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. And we need to be careful to tell people, we'll help you what we can, but there's something more that you need than just money. We need to take advantage of opportunities like that. And so they told this man, they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And that man's ankle bones were strengthened, and he got up and he was able to walk. And you know what he did? He went leaping, he went jumping, he went running around the temple there, proclaiming to the people there what had been done for him. And folks, I'll tell you what, when God looks down upon somebody's life and performs a miracle in their life, it ought to make us happy, shouldn't it? It ought to make us rejoice. It ought to make us give thanks to God openly and publicly for what the Lord has done for us. Remember what the definition talked about a miracle being something that just defies all logic? It defies all physics. Let me tell you something. A sea, an ocean, doesn't just by chance open up and allow people to walk through it on the dry ground. That doesn't just happen. Nature doesn't just bring that about. But we know from what we read in the scriptures that God performed such a miracle before his people. When they were leaving Egypt and they came there to the Red Sea and they were trapped with the sea in front of them and Pharaoh and his army pursuing quickly behind them, and they were trapped. Let me encourage you today. When you can't find the way out, go and ask God to deliver you. He can do it. I mean, these people were in desperation and they were beginning to murmur, and Moses said, listen, fear not. Don't worry about this. Fear not. Stand still and I'll take care of it. No, he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And so he stretched out the rod there. God caused an east wind to blow through the night. And Moses stretched out that rod and divided that sea. And they walked through and didn't even get muddy. Walked through, the Bible says, on dry ground. Those things don't happen by chance. God is a miracle worker. God performs miracles. I want to tell you something else, I believe, about miracles. When the Lord had used them, and I told you there's people in the world today that won't agree with some of this, and that's up to them, but I'm convinced of this. When God, in the infant years of his church, had used those miracles and those signs and those wonders to accredit his church and establish his church among the people of this earth, at the end of the apostolic age, those gifts were no longer necessary, and God did away with them among the church. And there are people today, and I don't say this to be mean, but I say it to state what I believe. There are people in the world today, I believe, that they are deceiving people. They are telling people that they are claiming to still have this power to perform these miracles, and they're false teachers and they're phony. And I'm afraid that many of them do that knowing that about themselves. What a travesty, isn't it? I mean, what a horrible thing to use God to gain advantage for yourself. Well, we've all got to answer to the Lord, don't we? And we will. I don't believe that men today have the ability to do miracles the way that they did in the infant years of the church. God used that for that purpose, and then he was finished. But I'll tell you something else, I believe, And that is that the Lord never stopped doing miracles. He never stopped. He still does them today. And so when we read about these things in the scriptures, when we think about the sea being opened and the Israelites going through, when we think about, Naaman being healed from his leprosy, when we think about all those lepers in the New Testament that Jesus himself healed, the people that he restored their sight to, the people that were lame and were made to walk, when he stood before the grave of Lazarus, who had been in the grave for 4 days and was wrapped in a grave cloth, and Jesus cried out and said, "Lazarus, come forth." And he came forth, and Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." Friends, that was a miracle. It was a miracle from the Lord. Of all of the things that the Lord did while he was here on the earth, you know what, to me, when I think about the greatest miracle power, and I want to talk to you before I begin about what I consider to be the best of all miracles, or before I finish, rather, what I consider to be the best of all miracles. But I'll tell you what, to me, to think about the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross in a human body, dying. I mean, he died, folks. Jesus Christ died on the cross. And they took his body down, and they took it and they laid it in a tomb. His lifeless body, they laid it in a tomb. And on the third day after they had done that, in that dark, cold, dungy tomb where his body laid, by his own power, he summoned his spirit and he took up his body by his own power. Isn't that something? I mean, you talk about a miracle. I'll tell you what, you think about somebody that can go around and raise people from the dead, but when you can lay there dead yourself and by your own power raise yourself from the dead, I call you my Lord. Jesus, by his own power, got up from the dead. And he performed miracle after miracle while he lived here in this world. You know, if you're going to see miracles in your life, folks, you're going to have faith. Sometimes we pray and we pray and we don't see things happen. But listen, if you're going to see the miracles of the Lord Jesus take place in your life, you're going to have faith in him, because we read about the Lord in the scriptures going back to his hometown of Nazareth. And the Bible says that when he was there, that he did not many miracles among those people because of their unbelief. Now, the Lord would go all over the countryside and he would do miracles, but yet he goes to this town and he didn't do many of them. You know why? The people just didn't believe. I'll tell you, you're not going to see the miracles of the Lord in your life without asking for them and trusting the Lord with all your heart that he'll do them. I've got some things I want to share with you, and you may have, and no doubt do have, things yourself, but here's my answer. I ask you, I stated, they saw his miracles, and I said, have we? As far as I'm concerned, I answer that with a resounding yes. We have. We may sometimes fail to recognize them. We may overlook things. We may write them off sometimes, in ways that we shouldn't. But if we'll open our eyes, if we'll look around, we will realize that we have seen the working of Almighty God. Folks, I'm telling you something. Let me encourage you today. Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church, I know this. I've observed this in the past 4 years that I've been privileged to be here as your pastor. I have observed this, that God is with you and working among you and manifesting His power. God's doing things. I pray that we as a church, I pray that we in our individual lives, I pray that we as a church will really recognize that and will really honor God and thank God for what He has done, because God is working miracles among us, folks. He is. You know what? If you, and I pray that nobody will, but if you don't want to believe it today, don't. But I do. I believe the Lord is working His miraculous power among us all the time. I want to share just a few things with you. You think about your own, in your own thoughts and your own accounts. I asked this church not long ago. I stood right here in this pulpit and I said, I have a cousin that is just morbidly obese. He's going to die. 29 years old. He's going to die. And he's lost. And he's facing a very serious, serious surgery. And I asked this church to pray for my young cousin. Well, let me tell you something. That boy made it through the surgery. He has lost over 200 pounds already. He's up on his feet walking. And when he was in the hospital in Louisville, and they called me and told me about this, when he was in the hospital in Louisville, he told his family, he said, before I had my surgery on my hospital bed, I began to call up on God. And He saved my soul. I asked the church a while back to pray for my daughter. And I told and shared with you how that for years she had tried to have a child. And every time it had failed. And it just seemed like it wasn't going to happen. My wife and I, we would go, we wet the floor with tears praying for that girl. But it just seemed like it wasn't going to happen. I shared that with the church. I asked the church to pray for her, to pray for Mandy, that if it was God's will, that He might bless her in that way. And today she's in Indianapolis and she's got two little twin boys. And boy, I'll tell you, they're just as cute as they can be. I asked for your prayers in that. Do you remember this? Do you remember, I don't know what, two and a half years ago, something like that? Do y'all remember being here in the service? I do. I remember it very plainly. Do you remember Sister Sue Howard addressing the church here where she's a member and telling us, folks, I have been diagnosed with invasive breast cancer? That's serious, isn't it? I've been diagnosed with invasive breast cancer, and she asked for our prayers. Well, Sister Howard, bless your heart. It's good to be worshiping with you here this morning at Fairview Memorial. And I see her on Sundays, and I see her here on Wednesdays. And Sister Elise came to my mind. Couple years back, she had a massive stroke. Do you remember these requests? I hope you do. Do you remember this request that Brother Collins made? He spoke to the church here and he said, folks, he said, this stroke has hit the part of her brain that controls her speech. He spoke to us about how much she loved to sing. And he asked, made a specific request that we would pray for her in that way. And I believe the church did. And God brought her through that. I was in the emergency room with her just shortly, standing by her bed in the emergency room just shortly after she had her stroke. And I was just devastated at what I was seeing. I saw her in intensive care with all the tubes in her throat and hooked up to all these things, and it was just a horrid sight. And but Brother Collins made that request, and I believe the church prayed, and God brought her through that. And you know what I did? I don't know, some of you may know this, some of you may not, but you know what I did after that she had gotten out of the hospital and she was at Brit Haven? I went out there one day to visit her, and I sat down with Elise, and I said, "Elise, let's sing together." And I began to sing Amazing Grace, and she began to sing with me, and I understood about two-thirds of her words. And we sat there in that nursing home and in her home, and we sung hymns together to the Lord. What do you think? I know what I think. Sister DeMumbran, I thought of you. Two or three years ago. And I know that, Sister Pat, and I don't mean to bring up anything painful, I know that you're having some health problems, but listen, to the best of my knowledge, from what I knew about the situation then, we could have, two or three years ago, we could have already had to say goodbye to our beloved sister. I mean, from a medical standpoint, she was sure sick enough. But God saw her through it. And I thank God for the time and the fellowship that we have had. And I'm going to try to conclude with this. I believe back this past summer, in our summer revival, we had people standing up here in front of the church, and they were testifying to the greatest miracle that God ever performs. I don't know if you can imagine this or not. I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can imagine somebody like Lazarus. I don't know if I can imagine having died and been wrapped up and buried and then find myself all of a sudden standing outside of the tomb in front of the Lord, and the Lord telling them to take those grave cloths off of me and unwrap me and let me go. I don't know if I can even fathom or imagine such a thing as that happening to me. But I'll tell you what I can tell you about today. I can tell you about a time when my soul was dead in trespasses and in sins. I mean, it was dead. It was separated from God. And late one night, I got down on my knees and I cried out to God for His mercy. And God, by His power, wrought a miracle in my soul that night, and He quickened my soul. He took my dead soul and He touched me and He brought it to life. And it's been alive and living ever since. Ever since. So I've been brought back from the dead. Spiritually, God brought me from the dead when He saved me from my sins. And these precious souls that stood up here, I believe we've seen God work His miracles in Sister Reba's life. No question. No question. We heard these people testify how that God had touched their soul. Is there anything better? I mean, folks, is there anything better? I'll tell you what, I appreciate your prayers. I already told you that. You know what? If I'm physically sick, you pray for me. I covet your prayers, but I'll tell you what, I'd rather have the blessings of God. I'd rather have the spiritual blessings of God than anything else in this life. I feel a lot better when God touches me down in my soul even than when he touches me in my body. And I thank him for both of those things, but I love the spiritual blessings of the Lord. The peace that God is able to give us. The song, you know, when you think about Jesus out there on the ship with his disciples and the winds blowing and they're scared to death, and the Lord performs that miracle and just says, peace. I'll tell you what, that overwhelming peace that comes from God that sustains you in the times of your worst trials is miraculous power, as far as I'm concerned. Sometimes he calms the storm. Sometimes he just calms me. Sometimes the storm rages on, but I feel the sweetest peace. Well, I'd like for us to have a song. And I want to ask everybody to follow the Lord. You know what? It's 10 after 12, folks. I'm not trying to be sarcastic. I'm trying to be sincere. It's 10 after 12. You may think it's time for service to go over or to be over. I'd like to have a song. The Lord may just want to do a miracle among us today, and I want to be here to see it. So let's follow the Lord.